Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Curious Ulsterman podcast, the podcast designed to equip you with the tools and wisdom you need to thrive as an adult. I am your host, Johnny, aka the Curious Ulsterman, and today I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Nathan, aka the Jolly Viking, and we are on episode 2 of the 5-part series, Coming Into Your Own. In today's episode, we discuss the topic of self-respect, and we discuss the 3 actionable steps you can take to not only build self-respect, but to sustain it in the long run. So without further delay, folks, here is today's episode on self-respect. Nathan, welcome back, brother.
So soon as well, it's great. No big gaps between.
I know, relentless in our podcasting, you know, it's our dedication to the audience.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%, man. So this is going to be episode 2 of the Coming Into Your Own series. And following on from last week's episode, which was unconditional love, we are now going to be talking about self-respect or aka dignity. So the reason we're talking about this is if you haven't listened to unconditional love, go back and listen to that. But to summarize that, unconditional love for yourself is paramount to obviously your mental well-being and spiritual well-being. But I feel like naturally what comes from self-love is self-respect.
Agreed.
Or dignity from that avenue. And I want to kick off the episode with just a few quotes that really stood out to me from all over the place. But there's also one from, you know, my beloved Stoicism that I'll share at the end. So the first quote I want to share is actually a Hindu proverb that we can potentially discuss. There is nothing noble about being superior to some other man. True nobility is in being superior to your previous self, which I really like because, you know, sometimes, although we may not have self-respect for ourselves, I do believe we can have ego. And it's like, well, I've no self-respect for me, but I still feel superior to this individual. And that's how we, in a toxic way, I believe, can possibly derive our worth. Is there anything you want to bounce off that before we move on to the next quote?
No, I think that's good. I think it's much more positive, if you like, to compare yourself today against yourself yesterday, rather than the bloke stood next to you today.
Yeah.
I think because that's, we always want to be pressing forwards, don't we? Growing and changing. So if you're the same yesterday, have you progressed? You know, have you grown? Have you changed? You know, so I think that's good to compare yourself to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like as well, that's something that's well within your control, you know, falling back on my own philosophy of Stoicism, focus on what you can control, and you can control your attitude and your actions. A quote I seen recently, which really struck a chord with me, was that so many people think about if only they had taken some small action in the past, the trajectory of their life would have been so much different, you know, where it is today. But nobody thinks about making a small change today that it will radically change the trajectory of their future. You know, and I feel that when we are lacking self-respect, like we do seek those easy wins, you know, or at least I'm better than this individual, or at least I didn't make this screw up. But accepting that, you know, you either are not better than you were yesterday, or you're a little bit better than yesterday, or you've made leaps and bounds, that's a far healthier and more sustainable way to live, I think. You know, taking personal responsibility for not only your actions, because ultimately it's your attitude that will define your actions, and your actions will define your life.
Yeah.
And I feel like that leads nicely into this next quote. And that is that no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Ooh.
Which is a really big one, because we are not taught how to have self-respect. It's one of those weird skills you have to, again, somehow pick up and learn from your tribe, your family, your society, your peers. And again, this comes back to what I was just saying. You're in control of your attitude. You're in control of your actions, which is very liberating and empowering. So if somebody says something mean to you, again, I feel like this is where it needs to be contextualized. If you said something to me which hurt, which really emotionally hurt, I know that you know, as a really good friend of mine and as a mentor, if you're saying something that's really hurtful to me, more than likely there's a wholesome message behind that. Like, I've maybe fallen out of integrity, I've maybe not lived up to my values, or I'm doing something which you know is out of character for me. And that's when I can consensually say, yes, okay, I do feel bad, or maybe I lost a bit of self-respect for myself and committed an action that is not in line with my values. Mm-hmm. Then consensually, through that mentor, through that coaching, through that friendship that we've built up over the years, I can change for the better. But when Smudge or or Tracy or Karen or some horrible individual down the road is, sorry to name pick there, I hope none of our audience are called that, but if horrible people just say nasty things to you, then, you know, it's hard to accept, but, you know, you are responsible in a way for letting that affect you. Mm-hmm. You know, you are part of that equation of saying, well, if there's no truth to the comment, oh, you're rubbish, but you still accept that comment with some truth, then you are complicit in that. Even though they've said it, you are complicit in accepting some form of truth. There's some form of truth to this statement. Mm. And again, will you consent to being to having not only your self-respect, but going back to the unconditional love, that foundation? Are you willing to have your foundation of unconditional love challenged by someone who really doesn't want have your best interests at heart and is just saying a horrible thing? Because then your foundation of unconditional love, you know that that's not true.
Yeah.
Or if it is a true statement and you've fallen out of integrity, okay, fair enough, but at least you can rectify it and you know with unconditional love that, you know, you're not perfect, you can fix this. But then, okay, you've got that foundation of unconditional love and you still have your self-respect. You have the self-respect to admit that A, either you were wrong and you're going to change, or B, you weren't wrong. This is just an attack on your character that's either not warranted or it doesn't affect it.
I think
what's your thoughts?
I think in those kind of circumstances, I think that's where, like, you know, you've got that, we all have that, because if your integrity or your personality or whatever, if someone says something that that attacks you or feels like that, whether it's, you know, a friend or someone you don't even know or you don't like, the part of your brain that responds is the same bit that responds as if you've been attacked by an Alsatian or by a bear. Yeah. And that bit isn't rational. That bit just thinks, I need to defend myself.
Yes.
And it's kind of, how do we, and that's kind of, I think that's like, that's evolutionary, isn't it? Because we don't want to die. You know, we want to stay alive. And so it's how do you overcome that part of you that's kind of, it's hardwired into us as a species. That's, you know, that's how we survived. That's how we got to the top of the food chain. So it's like, how do you overcome that, isn't it? And I think that's kind of whether you do your, and those things are never going to come, whilst you're in your sort of, you know, like you were talking about your tranquil meditative state first thing on the morning, or as you're saying, you're affirming words to yourself before you go to bed. They're not probably going to happen whilst I'm in church. Do you know what I mean? They're never going to happen in those sanctuaries Do you know what I mean? That we have for ourselves. It's going to happen when you're already feeling kind of stressed. You're at work or there's a family situation that's going on. And then someone turns around and says, you're an idiot. You're rubbish. Mm. You're really, everything you do is bad or whatever. Yeah. And they turn around. And so already we're feeling in a bad space. And then that happens. And then the bit of our brain that triggers to defend, to lash out and push back, responds, and it's a hair trigger, isn't it? It's not a considered trigger. And I think so, like, whilst it's very, and if you, I don't know about you, I generally listen to podcasts when I'm out walking or out cycling, but not on roads. Just don't worry, don't listen whilst I'm on main roads. So I'm in a place where I'm quite meditative and peaceful anyway. And so, even right now, if I was listening to this podcast about self-respect, I would be in a good place. So if someone was to turn around and, be, aggressive and, like you say, undermine that my identity, I would probably be able to deal with it a lot better. But generally speaking, they don't happen in those circumstances, do they? And so I think we need to, like, whilst that's really true, going back to that unconditional love for yourself is recognizing that you probably will fail in terms of, because you'll just respond aggressively, but it's kind of, it's the 30 seconds after that.
Yeah.
Do you dwell, take a deep breath, think about the situation, or do you just keep on the offensive to defend yourself, to prove yourself right? Because even if it is, like you said, if it was something to come from, someone who you respect and have and hold in value, if they come in with criticism, again, they probably don't know your entire situation. They don't know exactly what's going on with you. They come in with criticism just at your, usually be my experience is someone comes and criticizes me when I'm at a low ebb, so again, it's kind of, how do you react? How do you respond? There are people who come and criticize, like you say, and it's constructive, and they have your best interests at heart. They want to see you grow and develop and to get rid of this thing that, this bad trait that's either bubbled up or whatever. But then also there are people who have that motivation, but their means of communication is rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. So, there's a guy at my church. I won't name drop him just on the off chance, but he probably won't listen to this podcast, who is very, like, he just says things. And it's quite cutting and quite horrible. And a lot of people just avoid him now. And he was saying at a group that we have at church, he's like, I've noticed not a lot of people talk to me. And I was like, well, there's a reason. Yeah. And I had to gently explain to him that the reason was because of that. And he tried to blame it because he's not British by birth. And so he's trying to claim it's to do with his cultural heritage and that's just how they are. And British people are too sensitive. And I was like, well, yes and no. And I had to have a chat with him. And I had to be gentle and constructive to try and correct him. Those things are great and these words are good guidance, but I think it's kind of like you almost need to not just use them for your times of meditation and your times of affirming words, but you need to keep them kind of in like a ready use locker in the front of your brain as well. In case of emergency, break glass and get this thing out to respond.
100%. Yeah. Something I've mentioned on the podcast before is the 90 second pause. If something really triggers me or makes me or has elicits a big emotional response, I have gotten into the habit of wait 90 seconds, and then that normally gives me enough time to relax, have a much more measured and calculated approach to whatever this scenario is. Obviously, if it's something serious needs to be dealt with this instant, fair enough. But 9 times out of 10, it's a, right, let's take a step back here, analyze, make sure I don't overreact.
Yeah.
And let's have a proportional response to what this is. And then in the process as well, I feel like you don't lose self-respect, especially from a team leader point of view. If I just go around screaming at my guys, you know what I mean? That's, you automatically are not, you're automatically not seen as a good leader, and you lose a bit of self-respect because if you're screaming, you're losing control. You have no self-control.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the best quotes I've ever heard, and I love to use it when I'm either coaching or mentoring people, is that, you know, in any given situation, boys react, men respond. So, you know, it's it's very easy to lose your head and have that angry chimp brain go about. But then, but to a response, a calculated response shows self-control, shows self-respect, you can provide a dignified response to an emotionally complex or sensitive situation, you know?
But again, as well, if you are calm and unable to respond, I mean, I had a situation a few years ago where something had gone on and I really got angry about the situation. And my subordinates, the guys who worked for me, were like, oh, we must have really messed up.
Yeah.
Because he got angry.
I don't think I've ever seen you angry, Nathan.
And it was one time, and it was to do with someone's safety as well. It was to do with someone's safety.
Okay, that's fair.
And reckless behaviour, and I got angry. But then afterwards, I went and found that person, and I apologised, and we spoke, and I just said, I'm very sorry. I should not have reacted the way I did. Mm. However, and we went through it. And we were, you know, the situation was resolved and there was a good outcome. But the guys who worked for me were like, yeah, we knew we'd messed up.
Yeah.
Because you got angry and you don't do angry, you know. Whereas people whose immediate reaction is anger, it says you watch people, they just shut down whilst the person's been angry.
100%.
And it's like the person's just been angry to a brass wall, you know. Yeah, everything's just pinging off.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like as well, self-respect, slightly jumping ahead the next week, there's a certain confidence that comes with self-respect. In the fact that you portray confidence and you also feel confidence, but we'll not jump too ahead of the gun. We're going to dedicate an entire episode to building confidence and sustaining confidence when it gets knocked. But coming back to self-respect, I've got a couple of more quotes I want to talk about, and then I want to talk about the actionable steps to building and sustaining self-respect. So before we get to the actionable steps, another quote I always want to get your perspective on is that if your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. Now, this does harper back a little bit to unconditional love, but because you already have that foundation, self-respect, I feel, is the first layer. It's like an onion, you know, at the core, at the solid core.
Okay, Shrek.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Get out of my swamp. So the first layer is self-respect. That is like the first layer of defense. That initial attack, the first dent in the armor. And I feel that if you have a lot of self-respect for yourself, that you can absorb things easily. You know the way, like with certain materials, they are designed to bend with the stress, to bend with the force of the impact, and then they naturally rebound. Mm. I feel like that's a good analogy for self-respect, in that you have a healthy sense of self-compassion, but then that compassion will obviously naturally spread to your peers, family, and because you'll have built up empathy through, you know, constant use of this tool. But self-respect, again, is, I think it's intelligent compassion in a way, because there is obviously the various types of intelligence. There's academic intelligence, you know, physical intelligence. There's, you know, all these, you know, I'm not sure the exact number, but there's a wide array. I would say self-respect comes under a segment of emotional intelligence.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, but that's kind of the vibe I'm going for with that quote.
Mm.
But what's your perspective on that quote?
I like what you say about it being kind of, you know, like a layer within the armor, and that maybe, you know, as we're looking at these five attributes that you're wanting to go through, that each one of them kind of is like provided like a lamination.
Yeah, like a layered armor system.
Yeah. And you know, different layers will provide different things. I think having that kind of shock absorbing layer is useful and vital. And I think we need to be aware of that. And I think there's, you know, because I think like when we come to like the idea of self-respect and everything, you know, I think we need to remember that there's a, like going back to what you said last week about that inherent dignity that everybody has. Mm. And again, you know, I base all my whatever you want to call it, my philosophy on my Christian faith. And one of the big teachings of the Christian faith is that humans are created in the image of God. And so based on that, and this is not, you know, not a push for Christianity here, but, you know, I treat myself with respect and my fellow humans with respect, because I believe that, not that I don't think we're little gods. I'm not that kind of, not that way inclined, but if whatever that means, that we are created in the image of God, means that there's something that is deeply significant about each and every one of us, you know. And so I think that, you know, it's not that God made everybody else, it's he made us, you know, so we are included in that statement. And so, you know, have respect for yourself, because you've been made respectfully, you know, is how I would, sort of view that, you know. And I think that, and again, it goes back to that thing of like, can you truly love someone else if you don't love yourself? Can you respect someone else if you don't respect yourself?
100%.
You know, and so, you know, if someone comes barreling in and says you're a complete, you know, you're an oxygen thief, you know, you're a waste of rations, then actually, if you respect yourself, then you can say, no, that's not true.
I like that.
I'm not those things.
Mm.
You know, and again, I think, like, you know, going back to the idea of having a curious creed where we can have like affirming words in that and say, actually, no, you know, but I, you know, I have self-respect, so back off, you know, we can, you know, and have some affirming words that can be used.
And I tell you what, right, as I, especially in my early 20s, where, and I in my early 20s, but also being, you know, in the UK, we don't naturally like conflict in the UK. We're very conflict adverse, especially with either strangers or work colleagues or things of that nature. Mm. And the thought of causing an awkward conflict at work, and what I mean by that is having very clearly defined boundaries. So I remember I was in work and an individual spoke to me in a way that I felt was not warranted. And I decided that in that moment that is something that needs to be dealt with here and now. So I said, excuse me, mate. Now, don't get me wrong, I was terrified because, you know, it's never nice pulling up someone and saying, we need to have a really awkward conversation here. Like, this is out of line. And I said to him, don't ever speak to me that way again. It's totally disrespectful. And I wouldn't speak to you like that. It's not on. If you speak to me like that again, we're going to have to make some sort of formal complaint and take this higher up the chain. If you have a problem with it, then I'm more than happy to, you know, to discuss, but you're clearly out of line. And you could see it's almost like the deer in headlights look. And it's not, I don't mean to embarrass. I don't mean to cause offense, but at the same time, I know my worth.
Yeah.
You know, I, again, And I had enough self-dignity and respect to go, okay, you may be having a bad day. That does not give you the excuse to make me or anyone else in this workplace your verbal punch bag to make you feel better about yourself. Mm. If you have if you're feeling angry about something, you know, do the mature thing and either take a breath, meditate, do whatever, or go to therapy. But your fellow work colleagues and family are not your verbal punch bags to be an outlet for your anger. Absolutely. Now this gentleman, to be fair, at the time, he was like, he didn't really know how to respond. He went, well, okay, and off he went and sort of stomped his feet. And then 10 minutes later, came down and went, yeah, I'm really sorry, I was out of line. You know, and we came to a mutual, let's not do that again. Mm. And then since then I've long left that particular workplace. This was years ago. But since that incident, we had a very good professional working relationship. But I had a very established boundary, and he never crossed that boundary again, because he knew where we both stood.
Yeah.
And if you hark back to every environment you've ever worked with, everybody may not like them, but they automatically respect the people that they know where they stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
I think if you exercise that, you know, let's add self-control into that self-respect there, like you did. I think, you know, you also, by operating self-respect, you kind of extended respect to him as well, though.
Yes.
Because you didn't bawl him out, and you didn't respond in the way that he was treating you. You responded in truth, but you did it in a much more measured and different way.
Yeah.
That showed that you're kind of, fight or flight mode wasn't in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably in doing that soothed his fight and flight mode as well.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that the kind of, it's almost kind of like a circle, isn't it? Almost, you know, or more probably like an infinity loop as you do something, you know, like there's a response that comes from the other person. And it's not going to work every time, you know, people will still respond, you know, if someone is a bell end by nature, that's just how they will respond. But like you're saying, he may have been having a rough time somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so you pulled him up on it and challenged him, but in a self-respect way.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's up to that person how they respond. You know, it's not up to you how they respond.
Yeah.
You know, you've shown self-respect in your actions. You've fulfilled what is right, you know?
Yeah. But a good quote I think that ties in with that is the from Game of Thrones, actually, and that is, you know, lions
power is power.
Power is power. Yeah. But lions don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep. And, you know, you think about it, you know, again, that has to be a contextualized and balanced quote and used intelligently. Don't be a dick. You know, if somebody's trying to give you feedback, don't use that quote in anger, because you'll not serve yourself or your sphere of influence. You'll just not be in a good place at all.
I'm just imagining one of your regular listeners in their annual appraisal at work, and their line manager says, "Have you got anything to say to me?" He's like, "Lions don't care for the opinions of sheep," and then just walk out of the room.
Oh, dear. I'm not gonna lie, that could be one of the best walkouts of work ever. But yeah, it does come to that, you know. I feel like if you're gonna contextualize that quote properly, if you were gonna say yourself as a lion, for example, it has that dignity and it has that confident response to anything. However, if someone within the pride pulls you up and says, "You're out of line," you haven't lost any self-respect, but you have perhaps fallen out of integrity.
Yeah.
And that, but then again, that's where your self-respect automatic. It's almost like a feedback loop. It's almost like constantly reassessing. It's like that loading screen on your computer. It helps you. It's constantly recycling, constantly checking the system. Is this working? Is this working? And it's a nice feedback loop, to which you can only improve, hopefully. But
Yeah.
If some, and I don't like using the word sheep because it's so overused by conspiracy theorists, but if you, but someone who's not in the pride, if someone is just talking nonsense, if someone says something that could be quite emotionally hurtful or intellectually harmful or whatever, your self-respect is indented because you know it's simply not true. Because again, we've talked about this in the podcast before. If someone is giving you criticism, A, is it from a coach, a mentor, friend, or family who have their your best interests at heart? And B, is it constructive criticism or is it just you're naff, you know? And I think as long as people recognize that difference and recognize that not all opinions carry the same weight and value. I know that can be misconstrued, but you know, I value your opinion, Nathan, more than Karen's down the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if you were to tell me, great job, I'd feel on top of the world. If you told me we need to have a chat, you were out of line, I know, okay, this is, yeah. There's going to be truth with a loving backing message behind it. Whereas if Karen just tells me,
so.
Yeah. Whereas if Karen's just screaming in my face that I'm a terrible manager, okay, Karen. What's your thoughts on that?
I think I agree with all of that. Although I think there's still, even if it's sort of conveyed immaturely or badly or with negative intention, there's still something that can be learned from criticism from someone who's not in the pride, as you say.
I guess.
And we can weigh that up still. It's just kind of like almost weigh it up at arm's length.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like you say, if it's someone who you know has your dignity, your respect in their forefront, and who loves you, then yeah, you know, listen to it and take it on board. But always still weigh up and measure everything, you know, like, you know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think if someone, you know, if it's coming from, like you say, a fellow lion, then take it on board, because it's probably for your improvement, for your growth, 100%. That you should do. So
yeah, and our final quote to go over before we go into our actionable steps. It's a simple one-liner from the Daily Stoic today, which I do love it. Do check it out. The Daily Stoic rocks. False ideas about yourself destroy you, which I like, because false ideas are very insidious, because they can either be planted by yourself or someone else who you had in a position of trust. So false ideas, you know, we've talked about this in the podcast before, certainly when I was going through therapy, I had a false idea buried in my subconscious that I was naturally incompetent, which became a self-fulfilling prophecy in some cases and led to less than helpful mental health. You know, so I feel like that there's a real key here. I feel like we need to have a very intellectual approach to, is this a true or a false idea? And I feel like a lot of the times when we judge ourselves, these are false ideas held to an impossible standard that we cannot meet.
Yeah.
I do have a few more things I want to potentially say on that, but I immediately want to get, you know, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, it's that thing, isn't it? You know, I know, like, teaching and stuff has changed now, but how many times by a teacher does Billy have to be told he's stupid before that's what he thinks he is?
Yeah, 100%.
Whereas, you know, if you're told, come on, you can do this, you know, those positive, those affirming statements change things, don't they? Whereas, you know, if you've been told that, and if you've been told it enough times, you start telling yourself that.
Yes, well said.
And you end up in an echo chamber, don't you, of that kind of just rubbish. And that is, I think that is probably one of the hardest prisons to break out of.
Yes.
You know, because those words haven't just, you know, it's kind of almost like the ravens at the Tower of London. They live there now. That's it. You know? And you almost feel that if you were to let them fly away, your tower would fall down. You know?
That's a very powerful concept. Yeah. What would I be without these preconceived notions and these beliefs? It carts back to what that therapist I had on in season one, actually. He said, you know, familiar hells are preferable to strange heavens. Mm. If you are content, it's not ideal, but if you are so used to calling yourself stupid, you know, the thought that you actually could be intelligent is a strange and scary place, because then what if you become intelligent but then look stupid and you know, your worst fear is realized? Mm. You know, it's so interesting. That was such a great example about, you know, the ravens at the Tower of London. You know, they could leave, but they choose to stay. And because it's that notion of safety and all that kind of thing. But yeah, when it comes to self-respect, I feel like self-respect is that natural mental filter that filters out the false from the true. And you recognize the true being, you recognize the value you bring to not only yourself and others as well, but also to the, you know, the further community and the impact you have on the world. And also the fact that no matter what life throws at you, you can still, you can be, some days you could be running, walking, some days you'll be crawling, but at least you're never stuck in the same place, because a false idea is keeping you there, holding you down. Mm. If you have, if you base your daily interactions and your values on true ideas, some days you're only going to make 1% progress, or you're going to make 100, it's whatever. But I feel that it's very important to not only learn how to have self-respect if you've never had it before, because of either bullying or bad mentorship and bad parents and toxic relationships, but also how to sustain it as well, which I think this is now we'll come on to the actionable steps. And
yes,
for me, I've got two actionable steps I can think of, but if you can have a third, by all means. I feel like the first one, and it's the most important, is establish your values. You know, your values are based in the Christian faith. My values are based in Stoicism. There's probably 85 to 90% overlap in that, which is probably why we get along so well. Yeah. Also, you're great fun as well. There is that too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, so establish your values. What do you really stand for in this world? What, you know, what would somebody have to say for you to go, I'm drawing the line here, you know? The second thing, I think, would be to have very clear, well-defined boundaries. Draw your line in the sand and do not give an inch on those boundaries, because, you know, the moment you start giving an inch on your boundaries, people will take that mile. They will take liberties on it. And it's going to be scary the first time you enforce a boundary. But if people are truly your friends, they will respect those boundaries. And they'll not only respect the boundaries, they will respect you because you have the self-respect to enforce them. You know, nobody is going to make boundaries for you. You need to do it yourself. You know, take charge of your mental and spiritual health. And you do that by having efficient boundaries and a no cross line. You know, and you have to be, there's very few things I say you need to be radical about in this life, but you need to be radical about your boundaries. Create healthy boundaries. Now, obviously, things can be taken to the extreme. I always trust the audience to be intelligent and use good common sense in this. But those are those are two.
Don't become incel.
Fuck yeah, and exactly. So, but use intelligent, well-defined boundaries to have good mental and spiritual health. Those are the two actionable steps I think you can take, Nathan. Have you got anything?
I think just it's something we've said before, but I think it's good, which is, you know, like that working on your hair trigger, you know,
like you're saying, that 90 second.
Yeah. You know, I think working on that is a good actionable point as well.
Yeah, I like that. There's your three actionable steps. And establish your values. Be crystal clear on what you stand for in this life. And if you don't know, I suggest you start reading or having some reflection instead of being, you know, blown by the winds of, you know, whatever's popular in the day. You know, have a rock solid philosophy to stand upon. You know, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that said, "In matters of style, go with the flow. In matters of principle, stand like a rock." I like, which as a quote has always stuck with me. Your second one, have very clear, well-defined and intelligent boundaries. Mm. You know, again, I don't think you've ever crossed a boundary with me, Nathan, because we're just that good of friends. Again, a work colleague spoke to me in such a fashion that I deemed not suitable, but we had that intelligent, well-reasoned discussion and we had a great relationship after that because we now knew where each other, you know, stood. You know, make it very clear where you stand and people like and respect you and love you and have your best intentions at heart, they will not cross those boundaries intentionally. Whereas obviously people who don't will enforce them boundaries. And if they continue to do it, then as best you can, get rid of them and from your life, you know, from your social circles, or professional circles if possible. And third, which I'll let you repeat, Nathan, because it was your idea again.
Which is the, work on your 90-second pause.
Again, coming back to that quote, boys react, men respond.
Yeah.
You know, girls can do that too before you jump on the sexism bandwagon.
What we could say is children react, adults respond.
I like that. There we go. There is your third actionable step. Children react, adults respond. That's friendly for everybody and they're not going to lose their collective minds. But I think our audience are great, Nathan. I haven't heard a bad thing from our audience and they all seem to, you know, be of similar mindset to us.
I like them. I like the curious host of people. They're a good bunch.
I like them. I like them too. But I think we have done a very good dive into this topic and I feel like the next topic is going to be great. We're going to have a really good chat about confidence again in lines of building it and creating a self-sustaining feedback loop in confidence. Awesome. But do you have any final things to say to the audience, Nathan?
Keep being curious.
Oh gosh, man, just full of it, aren't you? Full of the wisdom, little nuggets of gold. I like it. For me, I would say, again, call to action. Tell us on the socials how you're going to, you know, find out what you really stand for or what are your values. You know, how are you going to make those boundaries, you know, definable and very clear? And, you know, how are you going to practice that 90-second response so that you respond instead of react? So that's everything from me and Nathan. And Nathan, I want to thank you again for coming on for this series.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, the next three episodes are going to be awesome. And all the episodes after that, just as well, mate. But once again, thanks for coming on and sharing your perspective.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Cheers. There you go, folks. That was today's episode on self-respect. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving us a 5-star rating and review on your preferred streaming service. If you feel like someone would benefit from this content, please do share it on your various social media platforms. The Curious Ulsterman is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, all at The Curious Ulsterman. If you tuned in today for the first time, thank you so much. And to our repeat listeners, thank you so much for your continued support. Me and Nathan really appreciate it. A big shout out to our repeat listeners in Colorado, South Korea, London, Birmingham, New York, and everywhere else around the world. I hope you'll join us for next week's episode. But until next time, folks, I wish you all the best. Bye for now.